Today we are getting together in the Heal the Heart series of How to Heal Our Heart with the Emunah B'Tochen, and the Yom Tov is Pesach. Pesach with Matzah Michal Demnusa. So we're going to learn how to take the Pesach and Matzah and freedom, and how we're going to heal ourselves and go into the rest of the year with emotional health and to be invigorated without any fear, without anxiety in serving Hashem. Because we know that Hashem takes out of Mitzrayim, Hashem is with us even in dark times, and we ultimately do see our gula. Hashem does hear our tefillahs, Hashem answers our tefillahs, His answer is always to help. And so let's begin like this. The Shulchan Aruch Kodesh writes that, in the Megillah it says, V'yomim Eilu Niskodim V'Nasim. This is a foundational understanding of every Shabbos, every Yom Tov, every time we didn't have a mitzvah of remembering something that happened. It doesn't mean that we're remembering something happened on Molchus Titan and has no shaykhus as the name of Faket. Means that these days in the Skorim, when the days are remembered, listen to the pasuk about Purim, Vayom Elo, these days of Purim, in the Skorim, when they're remembered, the Nasim, and they get done. That means our remembering properly the day of Purim. I remember properly, like to do the mitzvah of Purim, the old mitzvah of Purim, then the Nasim, the old Nisim of Purim happened, then happened now. Now take that into context. What it means, we're going to Pesach now, and we are Pesach have a Seder. We're supposed to remember everything that we are going to Mitzrayim, we make a Kaira, and we eat four cups of wine, four shoshu gula, and we do so many things. So what is Hashem teaching us? He's teaching us that when we do the mitzvahs properly, when we're told we're supposed to take out all the chametz out of a house. Chametz is also b'al yirah, b'al yimotzeh. You can't even have it. It's so negative that we actually have to, not only that we can't eat it, not only that we can't have enough from it, it can't even be in existence. It's gone. So when we live in the Skarim, we remember Pesach, the whole Chedesh Nisan, Chedesh. When we remember Chedesh Nisan properly, is Venasim, then that actually make all the Halik Eiris of that bring Yeshua's out of Lamaila, B'derech HaTeva, all the Nisim, all the Makis on the Goyim, and all the Bracha for the Eden happen, Venasim happen again. That's the beginning of it. So I'm going to try to do today is trying to point out a few in the Haggadah that we may know, maybe not know, and maybe some stories, but the Ikea, some Nyonim in the Haggadah, so you can take a go into Pesach and take a feel, be able to be in the Skarim, to remember Pesach in a way that is you're living it, and then the Nasim and everybody, and we all, together, all Yidden, will have the source of having the Nisim of Yisis Mitzrayim, which all go out of our Golas, the Nisim of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Bizis Hayam, the money, the Kinderlach, the Kinderlach, Hadik, the Matan Teda, all of this is going to happen to us and it'll be in a good revealed way. So we're going to start now with understanding Pesach first. I'm do this very briefly. And in the Kudus, if you want to take a pen, you can write it out. We start off Hashata Avde. We talk about Amunas for the past, whatever happened until now is Gamzul Teva, and B'tochen this means from now on it's going to be a revealed good. Here you have a mamash in the first Pisgim. You say Hey Lach Ma'anya the Chol of Sin Ba'ar the Mitzrayim. This is the food of whatever it is. The chol of a son of Aram Mitzrayim that our fathers ate in the Eretz Mitzrayim, and then we finish off Hashata Hocho. The Shana Abom Lechei. The Shana Abom doesn't mean we have to wait until next year. The Shana Abom means that we're going to help right now. The Shana Abom, and by the time next year comes, we'll be in a massive Lechei. And this is mamash what we're talking about. We can be sitting in a place called Golos. And we could be sitting in a time of a lot of challenges in a very dark time, but we have to remember the Shana Haba. We have to have betochen that going forward, the Eibush is going to bring us Agula Shleima, Agula Prati that we need, and Agula Shleima that's going to come. Now, here's a very interesting thought that's explained. Why are we beginning many Befarsha Haggadah ask this question, why are we beginning the Haggadah with inviting guests? It seems like inviting guests to the table. We're home. All the guests are here already. We already invited all our people who want to come. And we invited people that usually that maybe not invited. Everybody's open. Call this Yechel. And we invite everybody feels like home. Everybody feels like we're brothers, family. And we're here. Why here do we say, why are we starting off this whole Maisa? Why is Magid beginning with this Pisgim? Because Magid doesn't start with Avodah Meyunah. Magid starts with Halach Ma'anya, Bardim Mitzrayim. So there's a few questions that come up. But if we sit down to the Seder, we have a few. First of all, the first question that comes up is that we have to right away clear out of our head before we get into the whole story of face. I forgot to understand. And the question, the blazing question is, the Eibishter took us out of Mitzrayim. The Eibishter made a Geula. If the Eibishter does something, everything is good. So how come we're still in Golos? How come it works out that another Golos came along and we're still in Golos? We didn't yet see our Geula Shleima totally and completely. So we sit down by the Seder and everybody's like, well, so now we're talking, we are discarding Benassim, remembering the days we came out of Mitzrayim. And we're going to get all the brachas taken the way it is. But the question is, why is there still a golos? Mele a boss of a dom, a person did the geula, a person does something, it's not perfect. But when the Eibishter does something, it's perfect. So how come there's still a concept of golos going around? So with this, the Baal HaGadol is telling us a very interesting message here. And this is what we learn many times in the shiur, in the classes, Heal the Heart, how everything is in kavanah to have a moon and betachon and live like a yid in every situation. He says, I guess, you should know, holach ma'anyo. This is the bread of aniyos, the bread of matzah, the achol of a son, the bread of him, that our fathers ate in Mitzrayim. Now, where do we see anywhere written? That there is one page that says that a party gave to eat matzah because it stays longer in the stomach, etc. But this is something which is like one fetish writes it, but it's something which is not seen in any other fetish, and we don't see the only matzah we hear about in the Gabi Golos Mitzrayim is the matzah that Hashem told us to eat when we went out of Golos, and when Eden went into the desert with the total amunah that Hashem is going to feed us, and that's what matzah is all about. So why we're saying Heilach Ma'anya Dachola Ba'avosim Arad Mitzrayim? Why we're saying that this is the bread of Nias, the matzah we ate in Mitzrayim? We ate matzah in the Midbar. We didn't matzah in the Mitzrayim. So with this, the Baal HaGadol is explaining us Atake. We Atake ate matzah in the Midbar, and that moment in time we had like a surge of Amunah. We're following Moshe Rabbeinu into the Midbar, and we're trusting Hashem to Habitach Hashem is going to take care of us. But we Eden never fully and properly left Mitzrayim, even though Eden were physically in a place called Midbar, but in mentally they were still out of the Mitzrayim. So they were eating matzah in the desert with an emunah, but we still didn't totally completely eradicate the Yetzirah from our nefesh. We didn't totally eradicate the idea that the world can have an impression on us. We didn't eradicate totally our absorption, that infatuation with the world. The world looks nice. That part of the time looks good. And so, Mela, this is what it means. That we talk it physically, we ate matzah in the midbar. But mentally, the Eden, and that explains why we still had to go through more Goliusen, because ultimately the Golus, like we speak so many times, is there to purify ourselves, to overcome the challenges. But overcome the challenges, we purify ourselves, and we bring ourselves on a level higher than before. And that's so, therefore, since we weren't totally pure, we should have been after the whole Golos Mitzrayim. Actually, they just rushed us out of Mitzrayim. So therefore, we're still, that answers the question, how come we're making a Seder in Golos, but we say to ourselves, that the Shana Haba, Mashiach, we have total betachon that now we're going through all our challenges. Now we're finally doing the last polishing touches, and Mashiach is going to come. This whole concept, we'll talk about a place called prison. We have to know that our real existence is on the Shama. We could be physically out of Mitzrayim and still be in Mitzrayim. We could be even, according to this explanation, we could be out of Mitzrayim with the Gula, with all the Makkas and everything, but still, we still have in our heads an ability to question Moshe Rabbeinu. When things go tough, we start complaining, we start talking disrespectful, with kindness, with minus, rather than saying that we did say in the pure moment, left the Chachba Midbar, okay, the Eibishu wants us to go, we'll leave Mitzrayim with a little bit of matzah, without the truckloads of food, because we trust in Hashem. That is supposed to accompany us in every part of our life. And that's the first lesson we take from that Gada, is that we could, that the reason why the Gada continued further is because the we didn't really complete a total eradication of the Chomus of the and we still have to do with the Yetzer Hara, and therefore we are now working on that, and Shata Avda, now we're attacking still in Gold, but Shata Avda B'nei Chedin, we are going to be B'nei Chedin. Another point, next point. Again, these are points brought out briefly, but I'd like to give a flavor from Yom Tov, from the little time we have. Yom Tov is called three names. Yom Tov is called Chag HaMatzos. Yom Tov is called, in Torah it's called Chag HaMatzos. In davening we add to Chag HaMatzos, we add Zman Chedoseinu, the time of freedom. And then we call Pesach with the name of Pesach. Interesting. So Yom Tov has three different names. Chag HaMatzos in Torah, and Chedos in tefillah when we daven, and we are used to call cheres. Now this is a well known word, but it's good to remember. And when we call the Yom Tov, we're talking about the greatness of Hashem, so we call it Pesach. Hashem jumped over the doorways of our houses and saved us. Hashem, when he calls it in Torah, calls Chag HaMatzos. Look at my idolach. They went out into the desert with matzahs. That Mamuna, that total Mamuna and total Betachon, that will take care of me. So each one of us is calling it a different name, which is actually the same name. It depends who's talking. David is saying Armailas, Chag HaMatzos, and we're talking about David Armailas, Chag HaPesach. That's it for the Mitzvah Dishim. Another place, it explains the three different names. Why is it Chag HaMatzos, and why is it also called Chag? Was really, and this is a very important nekuda that I want to talk about, is that Pesach was the birth of Am Yisrael. The Pesach is the birthday, Mazel Tov, everybody, the Am Yisrael's birth. Now, birth doesn't just mean it became, a lot of nations have a date of birth when they founded themselves. It's not like that. Then birth of Am Yisrael was a Shinu Yamahos, the Yidden Parshat, changed the Abish that changed Yidden who they were before, and by going taking them to Har Sinai, the whole purpose of going to Mitzrayim was to go to Har Sinai, and by Sinai Yidden became a Am Hashem. They became a nation of the Abish there. They have a neshama that's a part of the Abish there, and so we so much talk about in the world of emotional having a good esteem by realizing from one side you have to have another. And from the other side, we have to be proud of who we are in the Shema. This is Chag HaMatzos. The first thing a Yid has to know when he goes to serve Hashem, he's a Matzah. Chag HaMatzos. You have to have Bittl. Nasev and Nishma. You have to know first I'm going to do, and then listen. So you have to have both. You have to first, when we start, I'll give you a motion. You have a Rav, you have a teacher, and you have a Talmud, you have a student. And the Rav, the teacher, wants to give over to the student a very, very high, a very, very edel, delicate, a very, very deep idea that's way beyond what the Talmud typically could know on his own. That's what we're talking about. You can't get it on your own. So obviously, when the Rav is talking to the Talmud, the Talmud has to be sitting by Berasav Vizir. He has to sit with a bittel, and he has to be ready to receive what the Rav wants to give him. He can't think his own thoughts. His own thoughts is like a middle shmona esrei. It'll be mavavel him. It'll interfere with his ability to receive from his great teacher what he wants to be given. And that's what the Eden were when they first came out of Mitzrayim. The first thing they have to do, nasav nishma, that have the end of matzah. That's what it's called chara matzahs. Because in order to change to a whole new higher existence, who we became Yidden, we had to first start out with Bittul. We had to first understand we have Avodim. We're created for a purpose. We're created to serve Hashem. We created Adam Lama Yula. The person was created to serve Hashem. And we are Avodim Avdi Hashem. And therefore, we have to stand with the Bittul. That's why we call Chagah Matzis. The next step is we also know we can't stop there. We have to understand what Hashem is telling us. The Talmud has to understand what the Rebbe is telling us. He has to use his Seichel. And he has to understand now that you got received what they've been giving you, it has to become part of you. Chedus Amiti, and we spoke about this many times in class. I don't know who's on the Zoom right now, but this is a tremendous idea what Chedus is. Chedus is when you are who you are. When a Yid knows that he can be a Yid. How can you be a Yid? Only when he's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only when he's doing Torah mitzvahs, and that is who he is. So that's a feeling of Chedus. Remember, we gave the example when you have a tree. What makes a tree happy? A tree, if your existence is a tree, then being happy as a tree means you're a potted plant, you're rooted to the ground, and you, even though you can't move, you have water and you have sunlight, and you're happy. What happens if you're a higher type of existence and you're a chaya, you're an animal, like an animal, not you are an animal. An animal, if you took a cat and you put him into a cage, and the cage didn't let the animal move, but you give the cat all the food that he wants and all the drink that he wants and good sunshine, everything do for the plant, it'll be the most miserable animal. Why? Because an animal has a nefesh achayunis, it has a life of a chaya. That the tree has a life of a tzemachas, it grows. So the tree could be happy for what it is and feel completed, but if you're higher level of life, then that won't make you feel good. It'll be, if you do the same thing, it'll be very inhibiting. It'll be mamish like you mamish in prison. What happens if, now go further up the chain. Go right now, a person. The person has a nefesh ha-sichel, the person has a seichel, right? So again, since he's of a higher sort, every person, the nations of the world, the Ebbish gives us people a nefesh ha-sichel is to understand that seichel. Seichel is the ideas. If a human being is going to try to act like an animal, where he has all the tivus and he has all the movement he can do, but he doesn't satisfy the life of his nefesh ha-sichlis, then it's a very miserable being. And you see this in today in America. David gives a perfect marshal. America is a country that has all the tainugim. People can achieve every single tivus that they can imagine. I'm talking about kosher tivus. And they can move around from place to place. They can fly from there to there. From Pesach, you go to Florida, and you can go to Israel. You can move around. You can do whatever you want, right? And the amount of emotional stress in the world, in America, is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Everybody's walking around looking for emotional health and this problem, that problem. And why? On a very basic level, because the nefesh ha-sichlis is not being attended to. There is a tremendous focus on happiness coming from attaining physical things, but allowing your nefesh ha-sichlis to express itself, that's not in the conversation at all. So therefore, the person doesn't feel free, doesn't feel complete. And then you go to the one more level up. You go to level Yid. The Yid has a neshama, and this is what we're trying to say with Zman Chedus, saying the real Chedus is because we have Torah. We have Mitzrayim, the Eibush that made us a new being. We have a neshama, and the neshama, the Torah is born with Hashem. So when we learn Torah and we do mitzvahs, we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for us, that's true Chedus. And Yid has a neshama, the same way a animal can be happy if he gets the same things of a plant, and a person can be happy if he gets things of an animal. A Yid will never be able to find freedom unless it talks to him. He has to be able to allow his neshama to express itself. If he does things that inhibit his neshama from expressing itself, then a person will be unhappy. Now, he may not know exactly what's going on. He may think that the reason he's unhappy is because he didn't have a new car. He has to buy a new set of clothes. He has to buy a new car. He has to go all these type of different things. But in truth, if a Yid will just understand who he is, so that's what Tate is telling us. Look at the names. Chagah Matzis. First thing is, you have to know that we have become a whole new people, and therefore we get it through Bittul. We have to have a matzah. A matzah is Bittul. A matzah is real. A matzah is exactly who he is. He doesn't have no added ingredients. There's no flavors. There's no flavor added. A matzah is exactly who he is. A And when an Eid acts as matzah, but then he has to take it, has to realize his true chedus is when he connects with Torah, connects with mitzvahs, and that's he has chedus. And finally, it comes to the name of Pesach. Pesach means that you're able to achieve greater heights in the way of a jump. You can jump higher and more than you ever jumped before. So brings out what we're going into Pesach. This is what we're going to achieve. We're going to achieve our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're going to change ourselves to a whole new level. And we're able to do it because it's Man Pesach. And how do we go to Pesach? Because we have Chedus. Chedus is from Torah. And finally, our we all started because we started out realizing that what Hashem is giving us is way beyond anything in creation. Hashem is giving us a present that's way above. Torah is one with Hashem. And the way to receive Torah is dafka with bittul like a matzah. Now let's move on. Let's move on to the Haggadah. And I'm running out of time over. Everything takes so much time to give over. I want to say that the name Pesach, I don't know if you focused on this, but it goes to the Parshas Bo, over there it talks about the Korban Pesach. How the Korban Pesach and Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Chav Gimel. And you'll see that Pesach really has two definitions. One word Pesach is jumping over, and the other name of Pesach he says for Chamalti, Hashem having Rachmonis. Pesach is interesting. People will say Pesach means jumping over, but Pesach also has the in of Chemlo. He brings Pesukim. Rashi says Rashi. Pesach Yud Aleph. Rashi says Pesach Ul Hashem Hakorbim Kori Pesach Hashem Hadilu VeHapsicha. He jumps over, and then he says in Pasuk Yud Gimel that Pasachti, what does Pasachti mean? Bechamalti, had Rachmonis. And he says, Kol Psicha is really a Lashon Dilug V'Kvitza. Very important for us to know. We learned in Shai B'Tochen. We learned that the first thing why we have B'Tochen Hashem, because Hashem is the source of all Rachmim on us. Hashem is a Baal Rachmim. Everything Hashem does is Rachmonis. And we are, and any Rachmonis we see from anybody is from Him. Pesach is a time for us. It's kind of an asin. You have to remember that the Eibishter is the Rachmon. The Eibishter has Rachmonis, and he's willing to jump over. In other words, Hashem has done it, and when we jump over our limitations, and when we we're not obligated to do, because we jump over our limitations, we do more than V'chomalti. That brings the Rachmonis on us. Rachmonis means, even though you're not worth it, the guy, if he's worth it, it's not even chesed. It's pay time. You have to give what he's worth. But Rachmonis means the guy may not be worthy of something. You have Rachmonis. So the first in Peir Gimel, he says, the first thing in having B'tochen Hashem, you have to know that Hashem is Rachmon. Hashem is a Rachmon. And that's what Pesach is. Hashem has achmanas on us, even if we're nem tashari tuma. Even if we're, obviously, we're willing to go out of Mitzrayim. We're not saying we're tashari tuma, we're happy there. That's not the point. The point is, really, even we realize that we have to get closer to Hashem, but even though from our past, we have not been worthy in getting a Yeshua, our betachen is that Hashem will be pasachti, v'chamalti, Hashem will jump over and make things change. The idea of jumping means you cannot go with a regular walking. When you walk your steps, the step has to have a form, a shape and form. Jumping over means that you're going beyond. So this, we say this a lot of times. When we jump over in our mitzvah Hashem, are we willing to do a mitzvah that we're not obligated to do? I shared with you the story where a woman came into him and asked him for a child. She didn't have children for 10 years. And he's sort of shocked. I don't know, he didn't tell me why he did it, but he tells them, I heard the story from my friend, Yossi. And he says, the woman told the story. He said, I came into the Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, and he tells him, you know, Hashem is not obligated to be children. She got shocked, like she came from Bracha. And Mitlamol, so what does he mean? So the tzaddik tells her, listen, Hashem Taka is not obligated to, but when you will do something you're not obligated to do, then Hashem will do something that he's not obligated to do. And the woman had a little seichel, and she jumped up and she says, okay, I take upon myself to go and visit 3 hospitals every week. And she said, she told Yossi that she was zeichel to have 3 children, they're married, three, a beautiful family. So 2 things here. First of all, our avoda, our matzah, our avoid of bittul, our avoid of doing what Hashem wants, makes a difference. And when we do things, we are not obligated. And she didn't say she's going to chazer out a whole masechta and shas and do something which is beyond her ability. She said, I'm going to visit the hospitals. It's more, she's going out of her, she's Pesach, she jumps over her limitations, but she didn't do something which is impossible. She did one more move, even a small move, and out of your limitations, makes Mida Kenegan, Mida HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers back and helps us even beyond our limitations. So we all need brachas, we all need yeshuas. We have to remember this, v'nizkar v'nasim. We're going to remember Pesach properly. We're going to remember that our avodas Hashem makes a difference. And therefore, when we're going to do Elul Mitzvahs, when Pesach, we're going to take a Kabbalah, we're going to do something more. We're going to go out of our Mitzrayim, by definition, means limitations. So every person has their limitations. Every person has in their head, I'll do everything, but no, this I can't. This is something sometimes seems trivial, but whatever reason, maybe it could be because the Yetzirah knows that this is very important to do, and the more this you can't do. So when a person says, no, there's not such a thing I can't do, I'll even do something which I don't feel comfortable doing, I go beyond my limitations. And Dafkin, that's the way, that Pesach attitude, that attitude of jumping over limitations, that brings us to Yeshua. So I want to say like this. There is a lot of times you talk about winning freedom. We went out of Mitzrayim and we got together with Eved Hashem. But it's a big difference. But we are Eved Hashem. That's defines us. That gives us chedus, because like I said before, that actually allows our neshama to shine, to go closer to Hashem. When you're doing something which is not your nature, if you have a block and that's stopping you from doing something that can hurt you or not your nature, Avedis Perech, you write that also, Avedis Perech, Chazal tell us, what was Avedis Perech, the party? What did Avedis Perech do? Avedis Perech, I mean, it visualizes, which is true also. They made him build big heavy weights and stones and making bricks and doing all of Avedis Perech. But as the Gemara says, Avedis Perech means he gave the work of men to women, and he gave the work of women to men. That means he gave certain work men have a natural tendency to do better, and a certain work women have a natural tendency to do better. So when you switch it around, when you tell somebody to do something that's not their thing to do, that's perech, and it could be even easier. Maybe it's easier to do things that a woman does better, but for men, since it's not his thing to do, it's perech and fakat for women. So what's the point here? A yid doing his ratzon, but he's natural. Every yid wants to be connected to Hashem, so that's freedom. So that limitation that I have to do a mitzvah is not how you say restricting me. It's defining me. It's not confining me. The place called prison confines you because it blocks you to go where you want to go. But if what you're doing is allowing you to go where you want to go, when you go to a mitzvah and that mitzvah is actually allowing your neshama to shine and connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's not a limitation. That's defining. Like, for example, you have an electric car and you need energy. You plug into a plug. I can't plug into gas. Of course, I can't plug into gas because electric car has so many more miles. So when I plug into gas, am I constraining myself? I can't. It's defining me. I'm doing something as the who I am. Mashen Kain, when you have one, he doesn't have Veda, because an Aveda is something that he does not want to do. Now, Veda is something which separates the Yid from Hashem, and he doesn't want to be doing the Veda. So, forget that doing of Veda, that is confinement, and that's like why when you do what the Ebishter wants. Like I shared with you many times, that even the physical prison, when they wanted, and the Ebishter helped, I was freed, but one guard is the other guard. Who is this Rabashkin, the president, freed? And the Pella is, he defined me as a guy that was always happy. Was I always happy? I remember looking back. I didn't walk around with this. I had such a wonderful day to be in prison. It's a machaya. Of course, I didn't let it get down. Of course, I didn't let it hurt me. And I tried to be above it. But what's that? We're happy? But obviously, the God was seeing a yid how when a yid does something the Ebishter wants, and that defines him, and that allows him to be, there's an inner happiness that he has when he is defined, that even a goy saw it, and a goy took what you call it, was able to see a person had a certain glow, a certain feeling of happiness, and that's how he described this. This is goes to the thing. So Pesach, remember, Pesach is jumping over, because our job on Pesach is to learn how to jump over our limitations. And we are able to jump over the limitations. In some cases, the Torah with which we are able to, because now we are a whole new being. And then the Chamalti, says Rashi, the Chamalti means that Hashem will have Rachmanis on us. Hashem, so we have, every one of us has our challenges. We have to remember, Hashem has Rachmanis on us. And that's why we have B'tochen on Hashem, because Hashem has Rachmanis, and Hashem will surely get us out of our Mitzorim and save us. And you see this also, if I can, when you start off the Haggadah, you say, Avodnu v'yinu l'par v'mitzrayim, v'ilu, and then we say, v'ilu, if Hashem didn't take us out of Mitzrayim, then we and our children will still be slaves in Mitzrayim. And many of the first Haggadah ask the question, why is that? How do you know that if Hashem didn't take us out of Mitzrayim, we'll still be slaves? Maybe a different king would free us. And the answer is given that, yes, a different king could have freed us, or we could have had a war, a revolutionary war, and freed ourselves, but that would not make us a nation that is free forever and can never be changed. It would only mean that we threw off the work of bondage from this king, but we would still be able to be enslaved again. The truth is that even in the later Golson, now that we got Torah, we can never be enslaved again. And this is something that came up with me all my time when I was in a place called prison. Getting back, I never wanted to see myself. I tried very hard not to see myself as a prisoner. I was in a place called prison. Why am I a prisoner? Because I learned that what we're talking about now, that Pesach changes us. Pesach gives us a freedom, not in factually, because we're Pesach not working hard. We're Pesach not servants of body. No, Pesach changes our existence, that we became people that are free and can never be enslaved again. That's what Pesach does. And therefore, that's so once you know you're free, and once you know you're not under the limitations of nature, you are under the definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, connecting HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Torah Mitzvos, so then when you need something, and you need something that through nature you can get, but Hashem is the higher nation. So Hashem, and Hashem tells you, Hashem tells you, trust in Hashem and he'll give you what you need, even if up in nature you cannot get it. So this is that's what's in Haggadah. If Hashem didn't take us out, we'll still be slaves. Why? Meaning, because when Hashem took us out, he changed us. We became B'nei Chayrin, right? Matzah, Zachir, Seinu, and to Pesach, like I said before. And therefore, we cannot be enslaved again. And Masha Enkin, if Hashem didn't take us out, we'd still be slaves, meaning we'd still be a people that could be a slave. By the way, I want to say one more thing here, many more things. How did Eden become a slave nation? I remember talking about this in the physical prison many times to my fellow Yidden that were in Nebuch in the physical prison. And how did they come? You took a free people are free. B'nai, the Shvatim, were B'nai Avram Yisrael Yaakov, people that fought Shechem, the fathers, people that were fighters. They weren't fighting. They were ready to fight with Joseph, but they didn't want to give Binyamin up. Mitamal, how did Pare get the Yidden to become, make him, the Naftalia, to make him free, like we had after Mitzrayim, but how was he able to enslave a whole people? And the Gemara explains how he did it. He did it with Avedis Perach, and it says the Gemara, another word for Perach is Perach, with a soft mouth, meaning he came to the Yidden with logical arguments. He came to the Yidden to try to arouse by them intellectual feeling of gratitude to the host, to the Mitzrayim for giving them a place to come during the years of the drought and to be loyal. And Apari is also building a peace in Ramses, whatever he was doing. So the Yidden allowed themselves to be convinced to do something other than who they were supposed to be. It was like a format and Torah, but there were still free people. There were still people that didn't owe anybody anything. They didn't have to go to work. It says that the Elom, the Posky Yeshiva, Maviseno, the Eden were always sitting and learning Torah. They always learned Torah. And they allowed to go into become wise guys. You know, wise guys are smart people. instead of taking the wisdom from the Eibishter, the Eibishter, Levi, for example, they said, sorry, we can't go work for you, Mr. Paray. You're talking very nice, and you're wearing a nice brick on your neck, and you're showing how hard and important it is to build a greater, make Mitzrayim great again. It's wonderful stuff. But we're B'nai Levi. We are sitting and learning. We're doing our job. Our job is to learn Torah, even before Torah was given. The other Yidden Nevach rationalized that in such a matzav, maybe we should go out of Beis Medrash, maybe we should go to work, maybe we should do it. They did that Nevach. And once they started doing that, that's how they fell into becoming a slave. So it's slavery. Really begins with not understanding who you are, by allowing yourself to be guided by other advice. You know, the first thing is, why are they taking advice from Paray to begin with? Why are they allowing Paray to be the guy who's advising them? It seems so benign, it seems so innocent. What is Paray asking you about? Paray's asking to show some loyalty to the mother country. Yeah, but if it's not something we're telling obligated to do, maybe it's a trick, maybe it's a way of getting us enslaved. And this is exactly Paray's Yetzirah. The Yetzirah comes to us. What's chometz? The difference between matzah and chometz, we all know. Matzah and chometz have the exact same letters. Besides, I mean, look, chometz is ches mem tzadik, and matzah is mem tzadik hey. You know the difference between a hey and a ches is? One little connection. The hey has a little door on top. So it says, what's the difference between chometz and matzah? And matzah is a yid who has humility. And he knows how, and he knows, as we said before, a yid is a mitzvah has Israel. And when he realizes that he did something that it wasn't exactly what he wanted, supposed to do, he has a door to get out of. He can Pesach, he can jump up and get out of this problem and through tshuva. Chometz, on the other hand, it has no door. It's a ches, it's locked in. The person has one door into the abyss below. So matzah is a yid who is humility. He's humble, no added ingredients. He's ready. He is ready to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a humility, and he doesn't listen to other people. And if you listen to other people, he's ready to do tshuva. Chometz is a conceited person. A person who's blown up. He puffs up. He makes himself bigger than he's supposed to be. Against a knacker. And it's all sourdough. Sourdough meaning it's sour air. And he's puffed up and he makes himself and that's what's the bit part of it, because he can't get out. He's stuck in himself and he can't connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A yid is a matzah. A yid has the hay. A yid has a door connection to even the tshuva to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when a yid knows that he can't take advice from areas that are not Torah. His advice comes only from Shulchan Aruch, what's right and what to do, what will bring in brachos, only from Shulchan Aruch. And that way, he remains free. That's the key. You remain free, a place of freedom. You don't try to say, I'm going to find, I read an article, and I read this, I heard advice. If you do this and you do that, then you find a sense of freedom. But if it's not you, and if it's not coming from Taylor, this could be a party that's coming actually to entrap you and to teach you ideas that are not good for you, neshama, and you're going to feel even more consumed. And I can repeat the story, I repeat many times. I had and one of the acquaintances I had over there in the Fleskow prison was a yid from Russia. He tells me, I was telling him about mitzvahs and how mitzvahs make you feel free, and he tells me that... Yeah, he has a friend, he got to know in Brighton Beach. And interestingly enough, this guy, what he always thought was an adrenaline junkie, because when he had a spare time, what he always tried to do was go bungee jumping and skydiving and whatever, parasailing, all these fast things, like to have a big adrenaline drive. And then he became Baal Tshuva, and he started keeping Shabbat, started keeping kosher, he started living with the neshama, and he stopped. So he always thought, you can understand, he thought that religious Jews don't go parasailing. Why not? Right? He knew a little bit. So now he understood. We have a neshama, and we have the ability, so the neshama has to express itself. So real chedus for the neshama is when it could express itself. What happens if a person is not brought up in a Torah home, or a person gets involved with a party, and suddenly he can't do mitzvahs, so doesn't do mitzvahs, so his neshama is going to cry for food. The neshama will make him feel, his lack of ability to express the neshama will make him feel unstable, he's missing something, and but he'll mistakenly, he will mistakenly think that the reason why he feels so lousy is because he doesn't have a new set of clothes, or he doesn't have a good vacation, or he doesn't have a new car, or a new house, everybody on that level. When in fact, the reason why you're not, you don't feel free, you don't feel good by yourself, you don't need a shamba lift. So that's the difference between Chometz and Pesach, and that's what with Pari. If I can say another Nekuda. And the Agoda. Have a little more time over here. We say there are four sons. Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Elisha. And I'm not going to be able to go through all of them properly, so I'm going to only focus on two of them, the Tam and the Shein Delishu, these two. And if we're able to, maybe next week is very impossible, but I would like to give you two more Nekudos and Agoda. So, okay, why they put the Rosh next to the Chacham? One of the basic reasons is because the Rosh is somebody who came to the table, is at least fighting, at least he wants to know something. And who can take care of a Rosh? Only the Chacham. So it goes Chacham, Rosh, and then goes Tam. So my father, Oliver Shalom, had this story he always used to say, and we enjoyed him saying it over, even though we heard it a lot of times. That there was about the Tam. Tam Mahoime, the Tam, what does he say? Listen to this interesting story, and it gives it also a flavor that we learned last time in the last class we had on Shabbat Tachon. We spoke about that Elam Abba is for somebody Hashem wants to be next to. So Hashem wants, it's not only about what we do, it's about who Hashem wants to be next to. So the story is that there was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, and he wanted to go to his Rebbe for Pesach to see his Seder. And he started on his trip. In those days, it was hard traveling in springtime because the roads were muddy, and he had to take a horse and wagon, and then it was a hard drive, and the wagon was getting stuck in the mud. And he realizes that he's not making it to Mezrabush on time for Pesach, and he was very upset about it. And he had to give up his faith, and he pulled into this little town. He was invited by this Jewish man, a simple Jewish man, he thought. And he gets invited, and he's the whole time in the constant upsetness. I guess that's why he could have been by the Baal Shem Tov, by a Seder. He winds up being by a Seder, by a simple guy. And he goes to Yom Tov, and he goes to Davins, and he says hello, and then he goes to the Seder, and he's watching his host, how he's running the Seder, and he's all I'm thinking, I could be sitting right now with Seder Baal Shem Tov. I'm sitting next to this very simple person. And this Yitzhak is going through the Seder in a very, very simple way. But he gets to the Tam. He gets this Yitzhak, gets very, very meditative, very bizbeinus, and he keeps repeating, Tam, Tam, Mao Eimer. Tam, Tam, Mao Eimer. He gets very, very involved with this Tam. And this Talmud, the Hashem was a big tzaddik on his own right, couldn't understand. I mean, the Chacham didn't excite you. The Chacham HaEmet doesn't bother you. There, he went zip right through it. The Hashem HaEmet understands. Tam, what do you see about this Tam that's so exciting? What are you thinking about the Tam that's getting you so... And this it for a while is very, very engrossed in this Tam. And he moves on. Second night, same thing happens again. He couldn't understand it. He didn't ask his host what it's about. He comes in the Chalamoid. He's able to drive. He gets makes the last few miles to the Mezrabush, and he comes to Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov asks him, no, tell me, how was Yom Tov? He said, oh, Yom Tov, I want to be by the Rebbe, and I got stuck over here. I could have been by the Rebbe, and here I got stuck. So he says, he didn't say anything there. Baal Shem Tov always said that whatever your Yid season has, he's supposed to take a lesson of Eitz Hashem. He said, tell me, you didn't see anything over there that you can take a lesson? So, I was whatever. I was by a simple guy, a farmer. He was running through the whole Agoda. He was talking, teaching. Nothing? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He tells me, yeah. By the time, he got very, very, very emotional by the time. He became very meditative. He started thinking, and I was wondering why, when it came to the Chacham, he wasn't interested in who the Chacham is, what wisdom he's writing. And at that time, he gets very, very engrossed. So Baal Shem Tov says, yeah, I want to tell you something. Everything in life is a divine providence. You take wanted to be taken by our table, by Seder. But the Ebrish, it was masking you to a Seder, by a big tzaddik, actually, who looks like a simple person, and he wants you to learn a lesson. Which lesson? What lesson? What is he in the Tam? Asked this guy. So he said, I'll tell you. In Russian, Tam means over there. I think two, I think, is here and Tam is there. So what got this year, this Tzaddik, to such a thinking stage is that he's making a whole matzav. We're cleaning for Pesach, and we're getting rid of our chometz, and getting rid of our yeshus, and Pesach's coming in, it's kind of a nasim, and we're doing it, we're making it. And I say that, and let me tell you something about achonis. I was in Episcopal prison. One of the things that I really missed was the achonis shevadam. There's no achonis. In prison, no achonis. You came to say that everything was given to you, the boxes, there's no place to clean up and to prepare. I really missed that. And we have Rosh Hashanah, and we're Rosh Hashanah, we're paying clothes, and then we can sit down by the Seder, and we have the Kaidus, and we're into our Avodah, we're into Skadim V'Nais, and we're into doing, so this Yid was doing the same thing. When it came, Tam Ha'im, Tam in Russian means over there, so what was thought, was he thinking? He was thinking Tam, over there, meaning L'mayla, Mahu Emel. What does he say about our Avodah? Is Hashem happy with our Avodah? Because sometimes you get so engrossed what we're doing, you have to ask ourselves, the Aveda that we're doing is Hashem, is a Ratzon L'Elohim. And that's why he's froze. Tam Ha'Emer, he was trying to think through where he's holding and assess his situation. And Taka say, yeah, I'm going to go Baruch Hashem. Hashem is happy with me. Yes, Hashem is happy. Taka tried very hard to have a good Seder. And he was going through, and then once he felt good about the Eibishter accepting his Aveda, they moved on. Tam Ha'Oim is an interesting lesson that as we're doing mitzvahs, and that's what we're learning about, the Munda B'tochen helps us. That not only we're busy with the Maisa mitzvahs, the Maisa we're doing, but we do the mitzvah with a feeling of closeness to Hashem, with the B'tochen to Hashem. It's all part of one inyan of living with Hashem. So that's Tam. Now let me tell you about another part of the Shein De'Elishel. Shein De'Elishel is the last kid on the block. And I always wondered, you know, if you look at the pictures, the Shein De'Elishel is usually this guy with a sussy, can't talk. And you wonder why, yeah, everything's there. And you wonder why the Shein, what's so bad about Shein D'Elishel that he is at the end. Maybe the Rashi should be there. Why is the Shein D'Elishel at the end of the whole stack? And the lesson here that's given is an amazing lesson, and give a wake up call. When I learned this, I wake up. May the Ani L'Fanecha. Shein D'Elishel means a person who can't ask questions. Not because he had a sussy in his mouth, and not because he's a baby, and not because he's a moron. He does ask questions. He could be a person who's very smart. He could be a person who does mitzvahs also. He can go daven every morning with a minyan, and he can learn his shiurim. He does ask questions. The reason he does ask questions is because it doesn't touch him. It doesn't really, he has no feeling for it. So yes, he's willing. So, okay, he realized that he has to do mitzvahs. He doesn't want to get on the wrong side of Schar Ve'inish. So he doesn't. He gives up his few hours a day that he has to for his Avodas Hashem. And the rest of the day, he's on his own world. That's Shein De'Elishel. Shein De'Elishel is someone who's living his life in his personal life, what I want. And then he gives it, realizing I can't be all about myself. I have to give something to the Eibishter. So he gives it an hour, whatever he gives away to the Eibishter. He does it. But he has no questions. Yeah, I'm doing it. Don't bother me. I'm going to the minyan. I'm doing it. So you have no question. Nothing bother you. Nothing that you'd like to understand. Nothing that you'd like to. You talk about learning chavis alavavas after melekecha. Love Hashem. How to get a feeling of love to Hashem? Oh, let me tell you how great Hashem is. Let me tell you that Hashem is infinite. That Hashem is eternal. Let me tell you that through Torah mitzvahs you connected to Hashem. Let me tell you that Hashem, you and Hashem are one with the neshama. And let me tell you that Hashem really, really loves you and wants you to do a job for Him down this world. And when you do the mitzvahs, Hashem is very happy with you. And when Hashem is happy, brachas come down. And let me tell you, you have an enemy. And there's a guy called Mr. Yitzhahara, and his job is to overcome the Yitzhahara. So if you go through our challenge, don't think Hashem is ignoring you. So suddenly, when you think about these things, you want to get closer to Hashem. You have a feeling. You have questions. You come to class, and you have questions. Why about this? How can you say this? How can you say that? So the Shein De'Elishel is actually somebody who sadly has no questions, not because he doesn't understand, because it's not negiah to him. It doesn't. The whole thing he thinks is a ceremony. Let me through the Seder. Let me drink my four cups of wine. Let me eat my matzah, and that's it. But we should not be ashamed of the Shul. Shein Lishul is even worse than the Russia to a certain degree. The Russia at least is coming and he's fighting with you. He's asking questions. It bothers him. If it bothers him and you give him the right answer, then he can suddenly he can take a turn, maybe turn it around and get closer to Hashem. But by Shein Lishul, you can't even start talking to the guy because he's not with you really in the world of the Seder. So I want to wish everybody a kosher Feilach Pesach. We should be in the Skot of Anasim. We should learn as much as we can about Pesach. I hope tonight gave some of that learning and energized us to, and the kosher Pesach, everybody. And you should all enjoy the family. I was, Pesach obviously for me is a special. I share the story in the class. I'll share it quickly again, very briefly. When three years ago was exact same class that we had today. It's Seder. Wednesday night was a Seder, Thursday and Friday. My father, Rosh Hashanah, passed away. Test Nissen. Next Friday is his yard site. And like this year, next Friday yard site. And then I got it from Shiva Wednesday morning. And I decided that I am going to have his mach and skadav and nasim. I am going to put away my feelings. That I, well, what kind of hard pace am I going to have? It was Corona time also. My kids couldn't come. Only one family came. And I'm going to put it away and I'm going to do this kind of anasim. I am going to do Pesach properly. And when I do Pesach properly, the anasim is going to happen. And this story gives it out very nicely because that's exactly what happened. We had a Seder that night. And let me tell you, it was a challenge. I pushed away all thoughts of sadness that I lost my father. The whole Corona situation that was going on, then the whole darkness that was seemingly getting onto the world, I pushed it away, and I had one thing in mind: tonight Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Makas B'chinis tonight, Hashem. Tonight we're going to thank you, Hashem. We're going to thank you for taking us out of Mitzrayim. We're going to thank you for making us a new people. We're going to thank you for giving us a neshama. We're going to thank you for all the brach you give us, and the nasim that's going to happen to us too. And so I sat with the kids, and I wanted to make it for real. So my kids were there, and I thought, I'm going to read our God, they're going to fall asleep. So I'm going to start at Kindlach. Every time we talk about Hashem, do something for us, we're going to sing a song. We started singing, thank you, Hashem, for everything you do. Thank you, Hashem. We love you. And we're going to say that this shir is in the schus of Moshe Chaim Ben. What's the name again? I forgot. Moshe Chaim. Moshe Yehuda Leib Ben Chai Harafu Shleimer. Take it. But if for Pesach, be the Fu Shleimer. And so we're still in the middle of the share. And the kid said, I want to tell you what the status means. I didn't know it then. We were singing, thank you, Hashem, for everything you do. Thank you, Hashem, we love you. And I didn't know it then. But Baruch Hashem, Thursday morning, I went to shul Thursday morning and Friday morning, Moshe Shabbos, I came home and I was told the beautiful news that after the Eibishter freed me from prison, there was still 5 years probation that was part of the sentence. Imagine that Ashanta wanted 27 years and then 5 years probation, which kept me still under the guard, that there was a probation officer involved. I couldn't move wherever I wanted to move. I couldn't come to Jackson. And because I had a beautiful Pesach, and I had his Macher Seinu, I had this kind of an Asim, I found out that Thursday morning, the probation officer on his own, like he's on his own, the Abish to put in his head, that he is going to make an early termination and he's going to stop the whole Meshugas probation and 2.5 or more than 2.5 years earlier, because it was like 5 years. Mamish a lot earlier, he went to court on his own. There was no asking, asked him, the lawyer asked him. I didn't ask him. I wanted it. I asked Eibishter. And the Eibishter made the Chedis by himself. He made the probation officer go to the court and he called me with a message that your whole probation is over. What did I learn? I learned that when we in this kind of an asim, when we all sat, not only me, my whole family, we sat around the table and we were singing songs and we were living with the cheiros. Hashem made the cheiros happy, made it happen. The Eibush should make cheiros for everybody. The one who's sick should be healed, his cheiros. The one who needs money should have money, he should be healed. The one who needs a shidduch should find a shidduch. And if you see so many chasanas, there'll be clashes in the calendar. How many chasanas I can go and enjoy, if you invite me, I should say. And we should all be dancing with simcha. Everybody, one who needs to have a long life, should have a long life, and nachas from the kinderlach. And everybody should serve Hashem with simcha. Should be Pesach for everybody. That Yehudim is a simcha. Was us to be called. Came to Yalanu. A good Kibbutz Shiur.